Hello, friends and folks, and welcome back to another episode of our ongoing coverage of Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, the second in the probably trilogy of Final Fantasy VII remakes. I'm your host, Six Detmar.
I'm co-host Jennifer Uncle, and I cannot imagine a world that they do not finish the third one, so...
I'm Kyrie Page, and I can totally imagine that because, man... game development is really bad right about now.
Yeah, I don't know if Jen... I think Jen may have, like, misspoken slightly. What she said was, I can't imagine a world where they don't finish it, as in, like, they don't complete the game. I think she meant in that they don't finish what they're doing in the third one. Is that correct, Jen?
Yeah, basically.
I can imagine a world in which they decide they can go for a game four. I can imagine that happening.
Oh my god, that would be the worst possible outcome.
I mean, it's hard to imagine, like, okay, I know you have two data points, and that's a bad way to do science, right?
Sure.
But if I draw this chart here, right, you see me, here's my laser pointer, mm-hmm. and I'm like, here's zero, here's when there were zero final, I guess it's three data points, right, because we have a zero, here's when we had zero Final Fantasy VII remakes.
Okay.
And you notice the jump here in the number of minigames to Final Fantasy VII Remake, to the first one, and then the jump in how many minigames there are to the second one, if we do a similar size increase, if the chart continues this trend, there will be so many minigames in Final Fantasy, like, 3, and probably Reunion is probably what it's going to be called, I'm not sure they'll have time to add a combat system.
It'll just be WarioWare microgames that happen. You walk along in the open world, you encounter a monster, and then you get a single line of dialogue, not even dialogue, just a single line of text of what the game is supposed to be, and you gotta hit X at the right time.
I'm a Sephiroth, I'm not gonna win!
See, in my mind, one was the more focused game, two kind of sprawled all over the place, and for three, they're going to go back into focused, serious mode, because they have to save the planet.
But Jen, it's a sequel in the modern AAA industry, and people are gonna compare the games. They're gonna say, why are there so many fewer minigames in this one?
Why isn't the open world full of more bullshit?
Why didn't Chadley clone himself, and then I have two Chadleys that'll call me? And I know he kind of already did, because he made a fucking VTuber waifu for himself. Mm-hmm. But, like, you know, we gotta have more and bigger.
More and bigger, and making a Sephiroth trillion dollars.
Well, I don't know exactly how this game ends, but just judging from some of the things my friends have said in terms of, like, just talking around the reaction, it sounds like people are making a hard turn on this game over time. So
are the people that they listen to having a hard turn? Because I don't think us saying it sucks matters to them one fucking iota.
Who knows? In the fandom and other places in general, people are like, wait, this isn't very good, is it?
That would be great if people had... I mean, maybe we'll get to the ending and we'll like it. Anything's possible, right?
Mm-hmm.
Keep your mind open to possibilities. Jen did a great job of... That was assignment, and Jen did a great job because she managed to enjoy this chapter. Shall I go ahead and read? We did one chapter. It was a relatively long chapter. And also, just thank God... we kind of had an open world and a half this time.
We kind of did, yeah.
But here's our summary. I want to say real quick, but actually it's about the same length as the previous one, because the previous one was so fucking nothing. Having escaped Shinra, the party heads south to check on another ruined reactor that might be home to a weapon, a massive monster created by the planet itself to combat existential threats. A jaunt through the forest takes them to Gongaga, a small village hidden among the hills and trees. They are greeted by the Gongaga Youth Coalition, the town's equivalent of a militia. The coalition is headed by Cisne, a character none of our party recognize, save possibly Kate Sith, but who was originally in Before Crisis and whose presence in the game implies a lot of hilariously stupid things. Gongaga has gone gaga for Zack, their hometown hero, and the enthusiasm is contagious. Cisne misses Zack, and for a brief moment mistakes Cloud for him. Aerith is bitterly nostalgic for Zack and visit his parents, who can't stop talking about him. After the visit, Aerith and Tifa fail their 900th Bechdel test, discussing Zack. Cloud is pointedly not remembering Zack, and several random NPCs, including a quest giver, talk about how cool Zack was. After all the Zack standing, the party checks out the ruined reactor. As expected, there's a weapon there. Less expected are the two other parties crashing the party. Shinra is here to capture the weapon for its huge materia core, and the Whispers, who, hey, didn't we kill those? Didn't they die? No, I guess they're back. Scarlet of Shinra mans a mecha and fights the party. In the chaos, Cloud is overcome by all the Mako fumes and perhaps something else as well, and goes full Sephiroth, brutally cutting down a bunch of Shinra troopers, accusing Tifa of being a Genova... accusing Tifa of being a Genova doppelganger and attacking her. Tifa barely avoids the slash, and in dodging falls into the big pool of Mako and water at the heart of the ruined reactor. Taud. That's our hero, Taud.
Taud. Legend of Taud.
Don't talk fast, folks. I gotta leave that in. Don't talk fast, folks. It's hard. Cloud comes back to himself just in time to see her swallowed by the weapon. In a daze, and inside the materia stomach of the weapon, Tifa regains some memories of her childhood, and also learns what's up with the Whispers. Seemingly, they're divided into factions. Black Whispers, like the ones we encountered throughout Remake, appear to work for Sephiroth. The new White Whispers are on the side of the planet and are fighting with the Black Whispers. By Tifa's best reckoning, the White Whispers are winning at the moment. After gaining all this surreal knowledge, the weapon swims back up to the party and spits Tifa back out. Reviewing all this information with the party and not really actually dealing with what Cloud did, the members of Avalanche conclude that the best way to help the planet is to learn more about its current state from a scientific angle. The home of planetology, the study of the planet, naturally, is Cosmo Canyon. Hey, we're 13s from Cosmo Canyon. I guess that's our next stop. The crew charter a flight from independent pilot Sid Highwind and take their first steps into what if the Grand Canyon was magic. We'll see more next time.
So
that's chapter 9.
I guess we should get the desert part out of the way first, because that's probably the worst part of this whole chapter. Despite the fact that they give you a cool little dune buggy to ride around in.
I wonder if it is the worst. Maybe.
You went at length about the Cactuar stuff, and I played the first part of it, and I agree, because as soon as I finished that first part, I was like, fuck this.
Yeah, I mean, the open world stuff in this chapter generally is really fucking bad.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of why I say, is I didn't send more messages after I did a bunch of the Gungaga open world stuff, where there's a problem of just constantly being like, how the fuck am I supposed to get up there? But yeah, the open world stuff has been pretty bad. There's the proto-relic stuff, which are like sort of like the important side quests in a given area, right? Mm-hmm. The open world stuff, because
right,
they're going to unlock some Gilgamesh content eventually, I guess. We have an open world and a half, because we have the second half of the Coral Desert area, the bigger half, and then we also have all of the Gagaga area. The Cactuar stuff is like, there are these weird like Cactuar nest reactors, and you have to find a special rock, and then the rock makes you Cactuar pose for a second, and there's some ineffective attempts at comedy around how funny it is that Cloud and then Yuffie are doing a Cactuar pose. And then you get in and there's like a B-boy goblin. It's like, check it out, yo. If you wanna, there's a prophecy that someone's gonna come for Cactuar treasure, and the Cactuars are slot chanting, and it's like, if you wanna get it, you've gotta play a bad minigame.
Very hyper realistic goblin, by the way, freakishly so. It is not pleasant.
I don't love what their art style has done with this, with Kid G, I believe is his name. He's a young goblin. He's a goblin.
Yeah.
Ah.
It's really, so the first one is you play as Yuffie. You didn't do the second one. Imagine playing that minigame as Aerith.
Oh.
You know, the one whose auto attacks are really fun and good to use. It sucks, bro.
It's worth mentioning also to Kyrie, if you haven't done this one.
I didn't.
Okay. After you finish the first one, they just give you a piece of the proto relic and they're like, hey, you gotta do this several more times to get the full thing.
You can't even get it right now.
What?
After you do the second one, no joke, like, I'm not using exact words because I didn't write them down, but I'm not doing the thing where I make an extra flip version of events. Kid G is like, come back later. I gotta come up with more trials for you. Come back in, like, I don't know, 3 chapters. You don't even get anything!
Boo.
Hey, I think I just figured out why I had a mostly okay time with this chapter. I didn't do any of the open world bullshit.
Yeah, that would help a great deal. Go ahead. Please.
I did a couple side quests, and I did the story, and I made sure I was appropriately leveled, and that's it.
Yeah. The one where you're leading the chickens along with the empty feed can.
Oh. Fuck! We gotta hold off on that one for a little bit, because holy shit, fuck that minigame.
Oh, I turned my mic down for this recording, and I'm still clipping so much when I get angry. God. So to talk about a different angle of what sucks, we have a new area where we get a chocobo, right? Because they sort of cheaped out on us for Corel. You get a chocobo by renting one instead of doing like something or anything, and it doesn't have any special abilities, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just a chocobo ass chocobo.
Though you do get the buggy, which is able to drive over sticks in water, which apparently otherwise there's no way around. Which, whatever. Fucking whatever. You gotta create obstacles, I get it. But
also, Cloud, you could walk on this. You could just duck
underneath it. Like, I mean, fucking, if there's a pool noodle floating in your pool, you go underwater for half a second and go under it. I mean, or move it. Whatever. But, like, come on, Cloud. I mean, again, this doesn't matter. This is a stupid nitpick. It's only because I'm already in a bad mood that I'm pointing it out. part of the reason I'm in a bad mood is because of the obstacle of Gungaga, which is that everything is on fucking, like, mesas, like, separate mesas, and you have to do, like, mushroom jumps to get to fucking, like, I'm standing here at the base of a tower, which is on a little mesa raised up, and I'm like, the fuck do you want me to get up here? And I'm running in circles for 10 goddamn minutes.
Yeah.
Really badly laid out.
I know the tower you're talking about, and it took me a good 5 to 7 minutes to figure out, okay, so I have to get on top of this platform, and I need to climb up the mountain over here, walk a little bit over here, and okay, there's the mushroom I need to jump over there.
And there's also a graphical thing this entire game has done, but I feel like hits really hard in Gungaga because of the way that the tree canopy plays with light and shadow. They do a very realistic thing of the way your eyes react to light, right? Where, like, if you're in shadow, if you're in darkness for too long, light is blinding. If you're in light for too long, shadow is really hard to see into, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this, like, contrast, like, play that they're doing means just running around, you can't fucking see anything a lot of the time. You have areas where it's like, oh, I'm in shadow, and I'm trying to see where a rope might be so I can climb up this thing, but there's some sun in the frame, so the image comes completely blown out, and all I see is, like, muddy dark brown.
Huh. Now, that was something that I never experienced myself.
I ran into that a couple of times. It was very annoying.
What, just out of curiosity, what graphics setting are you playing on, Jen?
I tried going for graphics mode because, I fucking hate the ghosting, but, as it turns out, that wasn't much better, so I just went back to the performance. I did hear that they changed the graphics modes today. Like, they classified them differently.
Yeah, they did a couple of changes today with a patch, which I haven't applied, and I might not apply, because... Okay, so one of the things they did is they also buffed Red 13, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because they're like, he's just underperforming, we need to buff some of his numbers, buff some of his abilities. However, I have a bug that's happening right now that if it goes away, I'll be very sad. There's a nothing quest where Cisne asks you to get groceries for her. Right? Jen, did you do this?
No, I did not do this one.
Okay, well, she's like, oh, go get groceries from the grocery man, right? And you're like, okay, and you step outside, and there's a dog there with, like, bags on it, and someone puts money into it, and then the dog runs off. And they're like, oh, that was the grocery dog, you just missed him. But you better chase after him, and the Bow Wow Wow music picks up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I'm not fucking doing this, and I walked away. But what the bug that this has triggered is anytime the scripting does not specifically play the music, anytime there's not a specific track the scripting forces, it defaults back to Bow Wow Wow, and it's such a blessing.
Are you, like, everywhere?
I was watching, I don't remember, but I was watching a cutscene where, like, Cloud was, like, moping about someone dying, and in the background it says, Bow Wow Wow, Bow Wow Wow.
Oh my
so
god.
So good. It makes me happy.
That re-edit, modify the game. Call it the Detmar edit. Just any silent moment in this game have pow wow 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 wow.
That's what's gonna happen when it comes on PC.
It only happened this morning, and it's a shame because I've been doing a bunch of open world stuff, and I really don't like the Gaga open world music. If it had been Bow Wow Wow this whole time, I would come in here with a much better take on this chapter. Yeah. Did you either of you do the Proto Relic stuff for Gungaga?
No.
It's interesting because it's one of those times where I feel like you can see the dev time.
Oh yeah? How so?
So, the concept here is that you are finding hidden Shinra facilities that are basically like VR training for Turks.
Okay.
There are four of them. I did three, and then I accidentally advanced the plot and lost the ability to fast travel without, you know, playing more than I should, right? Mm.
Yeah.
I probably should have known. It's kind of on me. But you go in and there's like a hologram that pops up, and it's a hologram of like Tseng being like, oh, you know, this is the situation. And it's like they're setting up these situations. Like the first one is like, okay, monsters have taken over. Like an insurgent group has like corralled a bunch of monsters to overrun the city of Calm. You mm-hmm. need to clear out the monsters and then we can, you know, capture the leader. And the second was like, all right, you captured the leader. And you find out that this is all like misdirection. And they are going to attack Junon, and they've hacked a bunch of like Shinra Mecha. So like take down the Shinra Mecha in this VR mission, and you do that one. And then the third one is like, all right, their real target was the president. You've got to defend the president from a bunch of people who've stolen Shinra uniforms, right? All of these are just in the generic Shin, like, and they always expressly say like, here is the setting, here is the context. And then it's just the generic Chadley VR like floating hexagons. It's like, you wanted it to be like I was in this place. You wanted to have me running through VR Calm, mm-hmm. and you couldn't put it together in time. You wanted me to have to protect President Rufus, instead of just having at the very end a quick hologram appear of Rufus going, good job.
Which, to be clear, would be on point, for, like on brand for like a big corporate thing, you know?
Well... But that would make sense if it was still the old president, right? Because that's like, oh. This is a nitpicky thing that I brought up in our DMs, right? This doesn't actually matter. But if you wanted to do this version of it where it was like stupid and cheap, Elena's in these. Elena got hired like a week ago. When did she find time to do this? Rufus is in these. And like, it doesn't matter, but wouldn't it be funny and charming if it's like, you know, the old president and like everyone's talking to some member of the Turks that you're like, I don't know who the fuck this is. He must have died a long time ago.
Like these old ass training videos that are, because that's what the equivalent is. It's like mm-hmm. they're doing training videos and those never get fucking updated. Those are always hilariously bad. You would think that would be actually sounds pretty funny in like, but the vision that you have described, like of what the devs right. clearly wanted, that would be funny.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You could have the Shinra president wearing a monocle and be like, I'm Jebediah Shinra. Help me defend the town.
you could have like a fucking like 18-year-old Sing being like, you guys need to you guys need to
recording it on like a shitty microphone too, you know.
Though there is a moment where Yuffie helps Aerith figure out politics after one of these.
Oh.
Where you finish a mission and Yuffie this whole time has been pretty anti-Shinra and is like, man, these stupid assholes are being so wasteful and they're all such, you know, they're dickhead. Like the last one is about like, you know, the insurgents, and it's like, oh, we have to cut the shit out at its root. And she's like, don't these motherfuckers know they're the ones creating the problems? And Aerith's like, yeah, I mean, it's tricky because, I mean, there are good people in Shinra too. And Yuffie's like, that's not, no, there are enablers. There are not good people. And Aerith's like, huh. I never thought about that.
The only thing worse than a Shinra employee is a Shinra synthesizer. I fucked that up.
I mean, a Shinra synthesizer would be bad, too.
Yeah.
Imagine another minigame we have to play the synthesizer.
Yep.
There are some good people in Shinra, too. Might as well beat this game's motto.
True. Like, that's I guess that's the surprise, is that Aerith agrees with Yuffie. And isn't, I mean, maybe she's just being polite. I'm sure might next be. Time we encounter Sang, she's once again going to be like, damn, I mean, you know, I don't want you to kidnap me, but if you did, I mean, you know.
I wanted to say no.
Yeah.
Wow.
What?
Just.
You don't have to be in Stockholm to have Stockholm syndrome.
Oh, sorry, I clipped the mic there.
Layers to that joke. Yeah, I mean, that's the open world shit. There's, you know, monster fights and stuff.
Yeah.
Yep.
Did you do the one quest where you get, like, that one weapon for Barrett?
Yes.
That was all right. So we've gotten a couple of quests at this point where you have some sort of note that you have to refer to, and mm-hmm. It was very simple. It was a series of 5 pictures that gave you directions as to where to go to find the Dragonite to... You meet this...
Oh?
Thank you.
Took her a second.
Yeah. I was like, wait, what? Uh-oh.
It's pretty out of left field, I get it.
Anyway, there's this blacksmith who admires Barrett's gun arm and is like, oh, I could build you a sick-ass gun, dude. And you go there, you fight, like, I mean, the fight was okay. It took me, I think, 2 tries to get it done.
Yeah, it's annoying, like, it's a horde of birds that electrify themselves, which make them really annoying to fight.
Yeah, but, like, after like 2 attempts, I think I got it. And then you collect some Dragonite and bring it back, and you get like, I'm trying to remember the exact words of the scene, but I did enjoy the little, like, I enjoyed the little back and forth between Barrett and this blacksmith, about like the blacksmith extolling his ideology and also making a joke about, like, listen, buddy, the price of that gun is that when this is all over, you get me a big cake. And it was like, all right, that's okay writing.
Yeah. And it's kind of implied, like, I mean, there's some stuff about, like, his philosophy of, like, listen, you know, it's, you know, tools are just tools. It's about what we do with them, right? Which, if you wanted to be ungrateful, you could apply it in some, like, shitty gun control way. I don't think that's what he means, though.
No.
I think it's a fairly well taken, but also part of his point is that, like, you don't know how universal that adapter is. It doesn't, you don't have to have a weapon on there.
Yeah, that like, was the
once
line.
Once this is over. Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That was the line. Like, you know, he makes a joke of like, oh, you could, you know, put a giant whisk on there, but kind of, you know, bringing up this point to Barrett, and I think it was a thing that maybe Barrett himself hadn't really considered, is that there may be a day if he, you know, if he is successful, there is a day in which he could just attach a new arm there, and or something.
Yeah, like
Final Fantasy VII Advent Children.
Like specifically the line that the weaponsmith says is that whoever made that for you was a really considerate friend, because you could attach so many things on there. And he was thinking about your future. And also before that, like, there's the moment where the weaponsmith runs up to this person, runs up to Barrett's arm and just admires it for a bit. And as you're going to find the treasure, Barrett just comments, you know, there used to be a time where I would have punched someone like that for just coming up to me. And they kind of just comment on how he's kind of mellowed out now in an interesting way.
At the end of that exchange is actually, to me, is like the best bit of writing of this entire chapter, right? Where he's like, yeah, they're, you know, in the past, I would have just clocked that dude, right? And Cloud's like, in the past? And Barrett just has this great line, right? Where he's like, if it's not the present, it's the past, dude. Like, damn!
Damn.
Yeah, it's good.
You can change at any point you want, folks. This is just a, it's just a very good line.
It's very good. I really liked that little quest, and the gun that you get is really good.
Yeah, it has some good perks for overcharge, which I use a lot. So,
is now the part where we talk about the chicken one?
Bow wow. Yeah, it's chicken.
Yeah, so that's the sound chickens make.
So this old lady who keeps a bunch of chickens in her coop. The coop gets damaged by the reactor, and she's like, hey, could you go get them back? They'll come to you if you just shake this feed can around. And you get into this really touchy mini game where you're throwing the feed can out. The chicken is walking towards it, and you have to pull it away fast enough that it doesn't bang its head against the empty feed bottle and just lose all interest. But slow enough so that the chicken isn't just like, huh, where'd feed go? I'm going back.
And you're walking backwards the entire time, and you can't see where you're going.
And sometimes, even if there's no obstacle in the way, the camera will just lock in a way where you can't walk backwards anymore, so the chicken gets the thing. Even though you're like, there's nothing behind me, why the fuck won't you let me walk backwards?
And if you do take the time to swing the camera around, if you're not quick enough, the chicken will fucking get to the feed can and then peck the feed can and then start walking away. And luckily it doesn't force you to do it the whole thing again, but damn, you have to then you have to walk forward a little bit, you have to throw the fucking can again, and then you gotta like, What I found some success was, and it wasn't comfortable and I didn't like it, was like just tapping the L2 button like to move this shit along, because Cloud walks so goddamn slow that if you throw out the thing and start walking backwards, you may not have enough time for the chicken to run up and peck at the thing before you can even start making it move with the movement.
Yep. Yeah, mm-hmm. At some point the chickens also start roadie rushing the the feed can when they think they can get away with it.
For next episode, I'm going to write down every side quest in this game and see if I can get a list of every side quest in Final Fantasy VII, and we'll just have a moment to be like, huh.
The conclusion of that side quest is kind of good, though, because after you get to the fourth chicken and you basically fight this mini boss, Red 13
swear to God, when I got up there and when you get to the plateau and you have to lure the chicken back, I thought, no way. Are they going to make me haul this chicken?
I mean, that's what they want you to think.
Yes.
They're fucking with you.
Yeah. At this point, they were fucking with me and I wasn't appreciating it.
Yeah. You fight that mini boss, Red 13 leans down to talk to the chicken, and he's like, yeah, the chicken decided freedom kind of sucks, so he's just going to go back to his owner now. So,
Final Fantasy VII Rebirth philosophy in a nutshell.
And you get back there, and the old lady's like, hey, let's cook some chicken to celebrate, especially this motherfucker who ran all this way. And I do like the moment where you just hear a bunch of plate scratching noises as people are eating, and then it starts playing the game over music as Red 13 just looks down at the ground and is like, oh, that chicken could have had a happy life.
Yep.
This can't... I mean... Red 13, yeah. Listen, buddy. You eat meat. This cannot be the first time that you ran into this conundrum.
I think a lot of people have a moment when, you know, like, and I think if you are going to eat meat, you need to have this moment, right? Mm-hmm. But there are a lot of people who have sort of the moment for the first time of like, oh, damn, I like met and shook hands with a thing that, you know, maybe not this exact one, but that I am going to eat, you know?
Yeah. He held a conversation with this bird before it was cooked. Like, that's on a different level than just being given a steak and you're like, ah, steak.
I somewhat sympathize. I do think it's a little cheesy, but, you know, mm-hmm. whatever. It's the side quests in this game are pretty much all come from a, like, they feel like omake segments, right? Like, fucking, mm-hmm. you know, like chibi, like comedy segments, and but they're part of just a normal game, and it just really plays merry havoc with the tone and the setting at times too.
Yeah, this is the type of thing that would be. This would be the type of thing that would be contained in a Tales of Games conversation bit, mm-hmm. right, where you would have the characters talking about some subject. And it's mostly just talking heads and would not necessarily clash with what's going on.
Jen hasn't gotten any of those yet. She's still playing Fantasia. They didn't invent them till...
I mean...
What? First one they invented, I don't know.
Symphonia?
Might
no.
have been. Might have been.
Maybe.
I mean, at some point I was playing Tales of Vesperia, so I'm aware of those scenes' existence.
You've never played any Tales games before, Jen. This is your stream gimmick.
Never ever.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
I'm going to send the whispers after you to fix this. Jennifer, you need to forget all about Vesperia. Have fun while you can.
I'm not sure what Cisne is doing here, but hey, Cisne from Crisis Core, how's it going?
It is a little fun to have the number of interactions they have between her and Yuffie, because of course they are the two shuriken users in the history of this franchise.
Mm-hmm.
It is. I know we're never going to grapple with it, right? But like, they just fought a gigantic, like, fucking airship weapon in canon before Crisis is them fighting a massive, like, weapon. That's like a fucking like carrier, a Protoss carrier from StarCraft that attacked Midgar. And then I guess she quit and moved here. And it's just like, I don't mind that we, but you need, I don't know. You don't need to. Of course you don't need to. It is just very strange to think about like, okay, but if you make her canon, then that means this is canon. And that's fine, but it's very weird that that happens.
So the thing with this game, the thing with this remake series is that everything is canon. Everything is canon.
But, like, it's not really, though, right? That's like, this is the thing about, this is the thing Modern Square has done, right? Mm. Is they have this everything is canon policy, but then they use loopholes to make that true, right? Or, like, take, for example, the Persona series. The Persona has had a bunch of spinoffs, and has said everything is canon. Dancing All Night is canon. Sure, because it takes place in the middle of one night where time has stopped and then you're in a different dimension and then you erase everyone's memories. It's an easy way to make everything canon because you have erased all the consequences of it. Everything is canon, but you're not going to deal with the consequences of anything. So canon as a term means nothing here. And that's, you know, whatever. But like...
It feels weird with this game being so much of this, I mean, I feel like Remake on some level was trying to analyze, trying to think about its own place, like Final Fantasy VII in general, like some sort of, you know, recontextualization of that game. And by making everything, trying to make everything canon and nothing is canon at the same time, or nothing really matters, it's like you just want to have, they're trying to have their cake and eat it too.
Yeah.
Well, it's also worth mentioning that the person writing this game, Kazushige Nojima, has written every single piece of Final Fantasy VII media you can imagine. Like, he was the one who wrote the original one. He wrote before Crisis. He did Crisis Core. He wrote the various Final Fantasy VII novelizations that introduced Buckwild ideas, like Aerith being a... Well, we'll get to that in a little bit, because it's it has to do with a conversation we're going to have momentarily. But, he's been in control of this whole... every Final Fantasy VII bit's plot to some degree.
That's one of the most insulting things I think you can say about a person. Like, if he was saddled with this shit and doing his best and, like, sort of divided between masters, as I was imagining, then, like, okay. But it's just like, oh, you just did all this. It's like, oh, you are possibly the worst writer I've ever met.
I mean... Final Fantasy VII and VIII are pretty well written, I'd say.
He did not write base Final Fantasy VII. He might have done some work. That was not him.
No.
He's the guy who did fucking Jade Weapon attacking fucking, you know, Cosmo Canyon, and the Turks have to answer.
He was event planner and story writer for VII, so...
Okay, well, he just flew up his own asshole. I don't know. It's like, and the other thing is, this game has taught me that maybe I like Final Fantasy VII more. Like, a lot of Final Fantasy VII benefits from its lowered fidelity.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can like Tifa because there is not a lot of Tifa there. When you flesh out Tifa in Remake and Rebirth, it's not like it's incongruous with the character that's in Seven. She just didn't get to say that much. She was always a fucking, like, shrinking Osananajimi. She always was. I just didn't see it because I didn't know the tropes back then, and there wasn't enough writing, so my brain filled it in with better things. This is like when you get people, like... This might be a weird example. It's kind of like Han shot first, and I know, but, like... It's Lucas going like, oh shit, if I'd had the time and the budget, I would have made this movie worse. That's what Final Fantasy VII Remake is damn, if we'd had the fidelity and the resources, we would have made a much shittier game. Like, okay, cool.
Cool, thanks.
That was our intention. Do you want to talk about the actual plot of this chapter?
Yeah, let's talk about the plot.
Let's go to the reactor with our new grappling guns.
That God,
we already had grappling hooks. We also need grappling guns.
Yep,
but give them back after this. Okay,
give them back. Give them back. She could have them back. They control like shit.
I didn't love them, but yeah. It's like Team White Whispers or Team Black Whispers. I don't know. What do you want to talk about?
Okay, let's take this step by step.
Yeah.
So we get to the reactor, and the whispers show up. The Black Whispers, right? Am I recalling this correctly?
Yes, and they got purple cores now, which I don't think they had before.
Right, they got purple cores that look like weak points in an Ikaruga game or whatever, and you're led all the way to the center of this failed reactor after going through these corridors. And we get there, and then Scarlet has shown up in the mecha. Right?
Uh-huh.
And she drops these things on you, and you fight them, and I don't know. I don't know what to say about it, because it's like, it's pretty, the events themselves are pretty straightforward, but I think this chapter really takes a downturn, like, really around the time, like, when Tifa gets swallowed and gets sent into a Quantic Dream game.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you at all. It is very... they needed to have something bad happen as a result of Cloud trying to murder her, but that thing can't be inter-party tension, because that would upset things. Mm-hmm. And so... instead, she gets swallowed by a weapon, and then the weapon says, oh, never mind, and spits her back out.
I thought...
after, you know, showing her some lore.
God. And just the way in which you are... so you're, like, you start the swimming sequence, and I was around that time, it was like, huh, this camera is really still. It's like, oh, this is doing the fucking Quantic Dream shit, where it's like, oh, I get to move the camera a little. And then the L2R2 prompts show up.
That's the weirdest, like, the whole, like, the memories one where it's like, look at the water tower to remember the water tower. It's like, okay, this is stupid, but whatever, you wanted to make this feel more interactive, you didn't just want a final to Metal Gear Solid 4 this one, I get it, but like, why am I holding L2 and R2 to make a fucking whisper tornado resolve? Like, what do we, like, first of all, what is me holding L2 and R2 supposed to represent besides me raising my hand at Final Fantasy VII's roll call during its cutscene and saying, yes, present? What am I fucking doing here?
Yeah, it's not.
What is,
like,
this input supposed to represent?
It's not like, is it supposed to be Tifa, like, asserting her will onto the world? It's like, no, it's just sort of, oh, we have a cutscene and we need to make the player do something, as you said, just make sure that they're still awake, you know. And then you do the whole bit where it's like, oh, use the right stick to look at your memories, then hold down this button. It's just like, it's just one of those things where it was a Quantic Dream sequence, and I hated it.
The problem with you keep saying Quantic Dream, and it is not that you're wrong, but it is making me be like, damn, what if Cloud was having to hide shit in his apartment to not get caught by the cops for murder?
that shit's tight. Like, Fahrenheit was alright for about 3/4 of that game.
Way less than that, but thank you. Very kind of you. Very generous. Carrying in a giving mood.
Yeah. Man. And then it's just, you get the bit where Sephiroth shows up to... so he's controlling the Black Shadows now, and he's slicing open the stomach of the weapon to get Tifa out. But, like, I this game is trying to set something up, and I just kept thinking in the back of my mind, it's like, well, this can't be anything, like, good. You know? This can't be anything that'll pay off.
So... as soon as I saw the white whispers, my brain immediately went to, oh, on the way to Smile is canon for this particular story, because, for those who don't know, Final Fantasy VII...
anyone, everyone.
Everyone.
On the way to Smile is...
everyone but you and Jackson.
I only know the bits that Jackson has told me, and also just general synopses, but it's a book published by Nojima in 2009, got translated to English in 2018, but essentially the final chapter deals with Lifestream Black and Lifestream White. And
yes, I've heard of this.
So,
unfortunately,
Sephiroth is doing the geostigma stuff that's present in Advent Children, but Aerith... you find out that Aerith not only has the same, like, avatar ability as Sephiroth, she can basically come back anytime she wants to, and she just chooses not to, because she thinks it'll be better for Cloud if she doesn't.
Well, she's having so much good live stream sex with Zack Why would she?
But yeah, like, I basically saw that. I put two and two together, and I was like, okay, there are two Aeriths, like, with it split between these timelines. The other Aerith in the other timeline is comatose. This is totally Aerith fighting this battle, like that Aerith projecting herself into this and fighting the battle.
You're probably right.
And then they're both going to meet up, and then they're going to do fusion and become Super Aerith.
God, that'd be cool, actually.
I know, honestly, I think it's going to go the other way. I think you're going to have a good Aerith and a bad Aerith by the end of this game.
Oh, that'd be fucking sick.
No.
No.
It's as good as a sentence. You've played this game. You know it's gonna suck.
I guess that's true.
If
yeah.
this game had any bravery, it would be like bad Aerith shows up with a sword and stabs good Aerith.
I want the end of this game to be Aerith praying and you are holding off Sephiroth so you know he can't do the Hell's Gate, and then bad Aerith does the Hell Gate on Aerith.
That would be incredible. It'd be incredibly stupid.
And here I was about to talk about how I really enjoyed the whole trip through the generator, because I thought it was a neat little dungeon. I thought the fight against whatever that woman's name is.
Scarlet.
Scarlet. I thought the fight against Scarlet was a whole lot of fun. And yeah, like, this is the chapter where mechanically things just fucking clicked all the way through for me. And I enjoyed the bosses. I did enjoy the bit where Cloud went sicko mode for a bit and just stabbed a bunch of soldiers, because he should have been stabbing all these soldiers in the first place, but whatever.
I mean, that's... Okay. I didn't enjoy the Scarlet fight. I thought that was not... I thought it took too long, and she had a lot of just bullshit moves. Like the move where she just detaches her fist and you can't do anything except for hold block for, you know, 60 seconds.
Yeah.
It was not very fun
The way I dealt with that was when she... Are you talking about that third phase where...
Right, where she detaches her arms and turns invincible?
I got a little lucky and had one of Aerith's limit breaks, which just prevents all physical damage for a set amount of time. I just did that.
Mm-hmm. That would help. Yeah, she did that move to me 4 times.
Jesus.
I just end the fucking fight, sweetie.
Well, it's like it's doing that thing that it's been doing all game where you have one boss fight and then the game decides, do you know what this needs? Another boss fight.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the pacing is really bad for that stuff, because it's just like, I guess it's the game loves to do like climaxes back to back, and it's like, listen, I need to lie down for a minute, all right, sweetie? Like, this isn't a hentai. I can't just go over and over.
Wow.
But, like, yeah, I mean, I think there were some cool, like, there are definitely some cool elements to these fights. That's, I guess, part of the problem is it's like, there are parts of this that I think are quite cool, even in these fights. But I think they're, like, yeah, boss fights back to back, and, like, in her last phase, she's resistant to most damage, and so it just takes forever.
Also, it doesn't help that her main thing is flying around, and one of your party members exclusively does melee fight, like, tactics.
And one of your party members does exclusively no damage. Aerith is a really useful party member for buffing and setting things up and healing. Her damage is dog shit.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's fair. I might have had a better time with this than y'all, because I've just decided to play it on easy and use the various the tricks, like how it gives you the partner attacks much quicker and things like that. Fights are generally more fun on easy for me.
I think I haven't played it at all on easy, right? I've just played it on normal, so I can't compare. What I will say is, I think this game's combat system is extremely good. It might be the best action RPG combat they've ever built. Their encounter design is really inconsistent. Mm-hmm. And so when their encounter design is good, I don't mind a hard boss fight. It's fantastic. It's really fucking fun to be challenged and pushed. But when it has like, oh, and the boss has this one move where, and this is a fake example, like has this one move where they just, you know, punch the ground and it's unblockable and undodgeable and you take 1,000 damage. It's like, okay, I hope they don't do that move 3 times in a row, or I just lose, or I just don't. More often, I don't lose. I just am in a cycle of using Phoenix Downs over and over and over. Because there's one party member whose AI breaks and they just eat shit nonstop.
Mm.
If I'm not controlling Cloud, Cloud is just like, hand grenade, yummy! And it's a problem.
See, your issue there is that when you're not controlling Cloud, Sephiroth is controlling Cloud and just throwing him into the direction of all the grenades.
Cloud, enjoy that grenade while you still can.
Cloud, go up straight to the enemy and slash it effectively. Just do it, bro. It'll work every time.
It looks sick as hell, Cloud.
It was a real moment for me, and I think I'm overanalyzing a little bit. I don't think this is totally true. But when Sephiroth possesses Cloud, and Cloud's like way he's fighting changes, right? And it's like, oh yeah, this is not Cloud. It's like, oh yeah. Whenever you hit the Punisher button, Cloud changes to Sephiroth's sword holding stance.
I think
2 hands mm-hmm. parallel to his face.
I think part of that could be, I think there is like I agree with like a little bit what you're driving at, where I think if I have it correct in my mind, Cloud looked up to Sephiroth when like at some point in his life.
For
so
sure.
He would. And Sephiroth was a big famous, like, war hero. So I can totally imagine a scenario in which Cloud models his fighting style after Sephiroth because he admired him at some point. And even though this ideological split has happened, I mean, he grew up, like, learning to wield a sword like that.
Yeah. And I do, like, I think... part of it is just like subconscious, like leak. Like, I don't think I am not galaxy braining so hard, though this would be sick. I'm not galaxy braining so hard that every time you're controlling Cloud and you hit triangle, he's temporarily possessed by Sephiroth, right? I'm not going that hard. But I do think some of the Punisher stance is just sort of passive Sephiroth leaking into him.
Yeah, I could see that.
It's also like, I mean, and this is not true to, like, our time playing as Sephiroth, right? But we play as him before he turns villainous. Punisher is the stance where you walk really slowly and methodically and just, like, cast aside any attacks that hit you, right? Villainous is a bit harsh, right? But it is akin to how a villain fights, right? He is not in a hurry. He is just walking, and when something comes at him, he just brushes aside and fucks you up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Could be overthinking it a bit. It's also just fun, is the thing.
It is fun. I did have a little bit of fun with the first boss fight in this chapter. I had to do it twice because I lost the first time. But like once I started getting the pattern down, it was...
Which one is this?
This was like the big amalgamation boss fight.
Oh, the big like subject blah blah blah?
Subject one? Whatever the fuck, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That fight was okay. I wanted to at least test out what Kate Sith's deal was. It was fine.
Yeah.
Not super remarkable. That is definitely a character that is really, really hard to translate into this action RPG setting, though.
I think they, like, conceptually they've done an intelligent thing. I haven't messed with it that much, but the idea of, like, having a Moogle install, right? Where you summon the big Moogle doll and it has its own HP bar and its own moves, and you can, like, pick, you know, there are weapon abilities, and so you can sort of temporarily spec, and you can spec, like, Moogle if you want, or, you know, whatever. I think it's interesting. I don't know. I haven't played enough to see how effective it is, but I think at least they had a concept, and I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, after all of that stuff with the Black Whispers versus the White Whispers, eventually we head on over to take a plane ride to Cosmic Canyon, and we meet the new, much-improved Cid Highwind.
Okay, Jed, you have skipped over quite a bit because some bullshit happens. Mostly bullshit in terms of, once again, this game is bringing up plot points and dropping them immediately to just not address it whatsoever. I'm specifically...
Cloud tried to murder Tifa?
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of a big deal.
But she's and he's like, yeah, I don't know. I might do that again in a minute. I have no idea. And Tifa's like, that's okay.
That's okay,
no,
sweetie.
No, it's not.
It's not okay. Well, that should... This would be the one time at which the use of the relationship meter would actually be kind of interesting. Because, I don't know. Like, even if Tifa doesn't blame you because she knows about the Sephiroth possession stuff, like, her image of Cloud should be changed a lot because tried to murder her.
Mm.
Or the other party members should be like, hey, we need to get this boy some sedatives or something, so, right? Like, yes, please.
By the time that happened with Cloud, like, slashing at Tifa, no one else was on the same level as them. So I think that was just strictly a thing Tifa and Cloud saw.
So Tifa decides to, like, not tell the party. It's like, oh yeah.
I mean, that checks out.
Sure, second part.
Fair.
Second part. When she is in the belly of Weapon, the scenes that she's remembering are the moments where Cloud effectively stuck up for her and tried to save her. So, immediately after the slashing scene, she has these memories of Cloud being really good to her. So I can see that more or less making her, like, come to Cloud and be like, this shit is scary, but we're going to figure it out. And I know you'll pull through.
But, I mean, that's clearly what they're trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
Jen, if I had a magical dream where I remembered some of the sweetest things you've ever done for me, right? And I came out of it. I'd still want you to not be fucking possessed. I'd still think that was a problem. That would, in fact, harden my resolve to say, that's not Jen.
Okay, fair enough.
It would be...
And,
there's...
I mean...
Go ahead, Six. Go
ahead. I also think, like, it's partially just, like, camera direction, right? Like, the way you have to direct action and stuff. But as far as I can tell, during the part where Cloud was, you know, killing people and tried to kill Tifa, down on the lower level, one, you had a pretty clear view, and two, nothing was fucking happening. Also, where were Yuffie and Aerith? Except for just across the way staring at them. You can say no one saw them. When I say you, I mean, like, the game can say that. I think that's dumb, they should have, but, like, okay, I guess.
A little bit of inter-party conflict would actually spice this game up a little bit, to say the least. Because, I don't know, like, you can imagine in your mind a moment of Barrett being like, hey man, what the fuck was that? Like, and actually having to confront what has been going on? I don't know.
Yeah, it is a bit weird that there was more conflict between Cloud and Tifa when he just commented on, how are you still alive? And she showed him his scar and then just stormed away. And that seemed to go on for a little bit longer than when he actually took a swing at her.
And, like, in front of her, stated that he was hallucinating and could not see her scar. Though, if you want to be super, like, paranoid brained, they never show it to us, partially because she's effectively showing him her tits, and I figured they were being, like, trying to have some decency. It could be, because we don't see it, it could be she doesn't have a scar. I guess that's theoretically possible.
It is theoretically possible that there is a scene in which she slightly lifts her tank top, and we don't see a scar. Or
it does feel like the tone of it is not like the tone of it feels like we're supposed to understand that Cloud is being crazy. But.
But also, once again, this is a major detail or plot beat that is going unaddressed. And you can have a beat and then not address it and create tension in that way. But the way in which they just turn the scene into Cloud basically saying, oh, baby, I don't know what's going on. And Tifa just going, it's okay, I'm here. And then nearly kisses him. And it's like...
Okay. That just made me realize something. I'll need a moment to unpack it on microphone.
Okay.
Please.
I did say earlier that none of them saw the fight with Cloud and Tifa, but it did seem like I believe it was Yuffie and Red 13. They were listening at the door for a while when they were just talking shit out. So maybe they should have been a little bit more, hey, what's going on? Other than being ooh, they're going to kiss. Don't be quiet. Because the conversation,
they don't in that conversation say, hey, why'd you take a swing at me? That doesn't come up. But Cloud does say, I don't know, sometimes I feel like I'm being possessed by the devil. Like he's literally the devil's inside me and controlling my actions. And then Yuffie's like, kiss. And Yuffie's kind of an idiot, and I say this affectionately. I could see her missing the point. Red 13 is smart.
Yeah, Red 13, like Barrett, should be like confronting Cloud and just being like, hey man, is this going to be a problem? Or at the very least, like, it's like, what are we going to have to do to make sure that this doesn't happen again? Because that's one of the big frustrations I've been having with this game is, like I said earlier, like the lack of inter-party conflict is kind of like the ways in which they are introducing things that can create inter-party conflict and create like interesting moments, like they're just not doing with that anything with that.
And I also just don't have any I don't have any faith in them, right? Like I did not realize it was possible to do what they have done. Right? Because I think of games when, okay, if you think of a remake, I think of, my brain is very binary here. Remakes make brave choices or cowardly choices, right?
Mm-hmm.
Remakes are like, let's do something with, you know, the legacy of this thing, let's investigate it, or let's just do the same thing again. I could not, before this game, have imagined a game whose main shtick is bringing up the possibility of doing something cool specifically so that they can then not do it. And it is at a point where I'm like, okay, so there'll be a big twist at the end. They'll do a big twist at the very end of this game to set up the next game that they will immediately dismiss just like they fucking did this time,
mm-hmm.
right? But like, when they're, like the last time I believed it was when they were talking to Rufus and negotiating with Rufus, and I was like, oh shit, they might form a deal with Rufus, and immediately Yuffie breaks that up. And it's like, no, they're going to repeatedly have moments. They're going to take Tifa out of the party and have her get swallowed by the monster, and the monster's going to be like, oh shit, wait, you need her back because you need her to be able to do fucking Omni Strike and spin her back up for you. You're not going to take her out of the party. You're too cowardly for that.
There could have been a... Like, I thought for a minute, could you imagine that, like, sequence of, like, an couple of hours where Tifa is just not in your party because you're trying to like figure out how to get her out, like you don't even know if she's alive, if she's dead, or if there's a way to get her out of weapon or something. Like, they've already demonstrated that they're willing to not have, like, to change up the party makeup constantly. Like, they split up, sure, but I don't know, it would be a really brave and interesting choice to have it be, all right, this character is not around for a while, and you have to deal with the consequences of that.
But it would be less cowardly. They have found a more cowardly route than a completely, like, blindly faithful remake. They are doing a pretty damn faithful remake with changes that are annoying and don't add anything, and also constantly stopping to be like, but no, trust us, we're creative. If we wanted to, we could make something new, but we're not going to.
We could, but we won't.
And they got Jen, because Jen meets Sid and is like, damn, he's fixed. You don't know shit about Sid yet. He flew a plane good. You know what made Sid bad in the first one? And I don't blame you. I want to believe they'll fix Sid. You know what made Sid bad in the first game was anytime he talked to a woman. Was when he had his fucking, like, ex-wife who he just screamed at. No, not ex-wife, because she would never have the courage to divorce him. That was sort of part of the thing. Mm-hmm. Who he just screamed at nonstop.
So, this is another case where friends just kind of informed me as I was playing, but this Sid is practically a different character from the Final Fantasy VII Sid, you know.
Okay, I mean, future knowledge, maybe. I mean, friends whose taste I even trust informed me that this was a good chapter, and they're fucking wrong, so.
It was a good chapter. It was fun.
Well, okay. Jen, we've been ragging on it. What did you like about the chapter?
I think you said the combat hit a good like tempo and like had some good encounters for you, right?
I liked the combat. I liked the more scaled down nature of Gungaga compared to the other open world areas we've been in. I loved the lead up into the reactor. Just the whole momentum going through the reactor, like draining the water, getting through all of that. I loved how you revisit a second time and take an entirely different route with the other characters. And I really liked the boss fights. Like, I was just clicking with this chapter for the most part.
Hmm. Okay. A lot of that stuff didn't work for me in the same way. I do think the combat was a step up. There's still some annoying things, but a real step up after Coral, which has the worst encounters in the game so far. So many enemies that you just have long phases of not being able to fight them, mm-hmm. which is really stupid. I do think, however, part of this, Jen, is that you, as far as I can tell, you have scaled back how many side activities you're doing. And I think that's a big part of why you're having a better time.
Oh, yeah, because I have scaled back the number of side activities I'm doing just because I don't want to subject myself to misery.
Sure, but like you liked the dungeon, and I'm not trying to take away from that. But I think you saying this chapter is better, it's like, I think part of that is held up by what you're saying. Part of that is you chose to engage less with parts of this chapter you have learned by, you know, repeated negative feedback are miserable. The open world isn't better. If anything, it's worse. You just didn't do it this time because you've learned.
Yeah, like, there was another side quest that I did that we haven't talked about where, I mean, it's not even that big of a deal, but it was just sort of, okay, so you meet this kid who's part of the Youth of Galia. What?
So, I started his quest and abandoned it midway, but I just kept going back and forth through Gungaga, so he would just see me coming and going and be like, where are you going? If you need to take a break, that's cool, I guess. So I told
wonder,
him,
no wonder Jen had a good time this chapter. She just like flipped at the bird and laughed at it a bunch.
I told this kid I would train him. I left his ass waiting in the forest and flew to Cosmo Canyon.
Well, folks, to be clear, to be perfectly clear with y'all, I think you should play this game like Jen and Kyrie. I'm not saying you should play it like me, but as a person who feels like someone on this podcast should do all this content and be able to talk about it, I'm fucking miserable over here.
I'm at least trying to do the side quests because I feel like there's like bits of story and character writing there, which is ostensibly the part of this game I'm supposed to like. Which there is a bit. The fucked up thing is, like, there's a bit here where Cloud gets some characterization, and I'm like, whoa, 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 slow down, video game. So you do the series, like, you meet this kid. Well, some of us meet this kid. Others abandon him in the forest. you do a bunch of, like, combat trials.
More he likes Zach.
Yeah. Yeah, he likes
like everyone else in this town.
Everyone else in this town. But if you do beat it, you do get a bit where, like, the kid starts doing the squats thing, and then Cloud, after observing this for a bit, goes, "You're doing it wrong. Let me show you how to do it." It's like... Well, not in that tone. He's actually doing it, and it's like in a sort of... Like, he's being a decent teacher in this moment because he sees this kid's form and is like, no, let me show you how to actually do this thing.
It's dangerous to do an exercise wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, mm-hmm. Yeah, no, good job here, Cloud, for sure.
And then you go back to town and what's her name? The girl with the name I can't pronounce right now. From Ever Crisis.
Oh, Cisne?
Cisne, yes. Cisne, like, you know, eventually convinces the Youth Coalition that, like, she is going to train them, and then that's kind of the end of the quest, but I, at the very least, appreciated that bit with Cloud being allowed to have more characterization. And I'm not saying that he hasn't had characterization necessarily in prior stuff, but In this game in general, they are so resistant to the idea of characters expressing things that are on their mind genuinely that it was just nice to have Cloud, you know, take a moment to teach a kid how to do an exercise properly.
I disagree to some degree regarding... Cloud not having much characterization in this game. Like, I think over time throughout the chapters, you're seeing moments where he's just warming up to the party more, to the point where even Barrett comments on it. And, like, you just get little comments from him, like, mentioning that he promised Tifa that he would only drink a cocktail back when they were at Seventh Heaven. And Barrett just being like, well, he says that to Tifa, and he was like, I didn't know you were so buddy-buddy with Barrett now. And to some degree, he is. Like, I don't know. I see the two of them clicking together more often, and it's nice.
I think I would like it. I don't disagree with you. I think they are doing, like, especially in recent chapters, I think they are doing cool bits of, like, the actual Cloud shining through to, like, the facade, right? In ways I really think are neat. I would appreciate it more if it weren't for the fact that his interactions are with Tifa, a character who they are ruining.
Mm-hmm.
That is fair. Yeah. Tifa and Aerith really suck at this game.
Yuffie too. I think Yuffie less because they at least let her have like a Genki girl thing, which is like also kind of a trite cliche and not very interesting. But, you know, it's like sort of a, but at least she's fun to be around.
I did find that moment cute where you just walk into Cisne's house and Yuffie's just laying out on the couch the way that I would lay out on the couch and just singing a song to herself about how bored she is.
Yep. Jen, famously a bad guest, just, you know, sprawled out on your couch like a corpse.
I only do that when it's my couch.
That's what I'm saying. It's not like I'm trying to get you to admit that Yuffie did a bad here.
I guess she did, yeah, but like that's Yuffie does a lot of bad at this game.
It's true. She does.
Yuffie's just kind of rude, and that's fine.
No, rude is the bald guy.
God damn it.
I really wish they'd all end on, I mean, you guys didn't even see this stuff, but with the Turks VR stuff, mm-hmm. It would have been really funny if it was just Rude's project. Rude pops up a few times to be like, good work, partner, but it'd be so funny if it was so, it was obviously just like, Rude thinks this is cool and none of the other Turks want to participate.
I mean, he is shown to be in that weird bald head, like, club, and, like, It could be a fun bit of characterization for him to be just really invested in this stupid corporate videos, you know?
I mean, Rude's personality is that he is a, like, earnest, cheesy guy who wants to be cool, but, like, also just really likes getting along with people, right? Like, Rude is a guy who is an antagonist, but is naturally likable. Mm-hmm. And I think playing on that dynamic could be really fun. Oh, in other ways than just like the rubbing your bald head song, which is just not for me. Let's just say that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, Rude is voiced by Crispin Freeman in English, and he's fucking great in that role.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
His Japanese voice is good. I don't know. I don't remember who it is, but it's good.
Speaking of voices, like, Caleb Pierce is, Sid in this game. He just has a really good southern accent, like, oh, he kind of has an attractive voice now. Interesting. Okay.
I'm sorry, my image of Sid Highwind, by all accounts, has been taken over whenever I see his stupid face. I just think of that one gif that was used on internet forums for, like, a hot decade or so. Six, please tell me you know which one I'm talking about.
I have absolutely no clue.
Okay.
Is this another 4chan thing, Six? Kyrie?
I don't know.
It's where he spins a banana and then just says, banana. Hold on.
I mean, listen, I know enough stuff of the era to be like, sure, okay, for that to not sound weird to me.
Hold on, I'm finding it.
Okay.
Please, I hope this works. Nope, that's a still image. Never mind, I'll show you later.
Yeah, I...
That totally was worth an aside. But I just see Sid Highwind.
Okay, no, yep.
You found it?
Very quickly, actually.
That's the one. Yep.
I really thought it would be Final Fantasy VII Sid, not Advent Children Sid, but here we are, banana.
I'm looking forward to going to Cosmo Canyon, mostly because I want to see Buchenhagen and just see him on his orb. Because you know he's going to be on that orb when we get there.
That's going to be another aesthetic clash, though. That's just, like, it's the same shit with Dio from the Golden Saucer, where they have taken this inherently cartoony and funny character design that works in low fidelity, and then they're going to crank it to 4K, and it's not going to work.
Maybe, but I also just have an appreciation for wizards and their orbs, so.
Always you were saying this.
I never liked him. I never, like, had beef with him, but it was not a part of the game I had any affection for.
Fair enough. I also just think Buchenhagen's a fun name to say, so.
Well, next podcast, you'll get to say it a bunch, I'm sure.
I'm sure.
Or maybe that'll be the tragedy, is you're just like, yeah, we say it once, and then it's like, who cares? I don't know. Could go either way.
Turn Cosmo Canyon into, like, a 5-minute section.
I've also been given, well, I've been given a cursed declarative statement about what will happen later that I'm just going to be sitting on and waiting for y'all to react to.
If you want to tell us, I can bleep it. If you don't want to even tell us, that's fine.
Was it the thing you told me, Jen?
Yeah, I guess I already told you, so I might as well tell Six. Another thing M mentioned to me is the actual texture of Rebirth.
Yeah, that checks out with what they've set up. Okay. I mean, if we get him as a then all right. You see, this would be fun.
Yeah, he has those quarters. He's cool.
That's a lot of bleeping I have to do, but
you're not the one editing this one, bud.
Sorry, Kiri. I'm not tracking episode numbers very well.
I'm on evens.
Yeah.
Well, you could just cut this part out entirely.
No, sorry. No, it's gonna be bleeped, including.
I'll stop talking.
But you gotta do selective bleeping. You gotta only bleep the bad parts.
Exactly. Don't worry. Listen.
You can't just thing.
I know. Trust me. I know.
Oh, okay. What if I made this worse for you?
Okay.
Oh, no.
What if you gave each person a different pitch of bleep? Like I had one, Jen had one, and you had a different one. Individual bleep sounds. Just a slightly different, like, tone.
I don't think that'd be as funny.
I'd be funny because of the work I'm creating. It's one of those things that's funny in retrospect when the listener is hearing this now and going, what the fuck, Six? Is that why that was like that?
Oh, now you're just sealing Kyrie's fate. Okay.
I'm going to do it. That's the thing.
A fucking edit of Amontillado over here. Locking her in. Let's give out some pache, my friends.
God.
On that note,
clearly done talking about this chapter.
This chapter is so... I liked it for a minute, and then much like... I started thinking about it more, and I just started to turn on it. It started to sour and curdle.
I'm like Cloud, like empty-eyed, going like, wait. I'm not having fun. I'm turning with the sword.
At least we did it. You know what? One small positive. We at least didn't have a thing where we had Barrett say, like, killing is bad again.
Yeah, the only things Barrett said this time were, like, good and right. Right? He had, you know, the talk about, like, you know, anything that's not the present is the past. And, you know, the conversation about, you know, what to do with his arm in the future. And then also, we had some genuinely optimistic Barrett talking about how we could save the planet at the end.
Yeah.
It was around a stupid thing of like, oh, we need to do the, you know, fucking spirit bomb pose to empower Lifestream Aerith and her white whispers. But like, what are you going to do?
I am looking forward to... if not later chapters, later episodes, where I imagine some of the assumptions we've just been throwing around might get overturned, but we'll see.
Aerith going, everyone, lend me your energy.
as evil Aerith is there, as she is about to drop the Genkidama on her.
No, it's okay. Barrett, just kick off Meteor. It won't harm those who are pure of heart.
Christ.
Radiant Aegis times 4!
This is just going to keep getting more and more unhinged as we progress to the end.
Where, Six, help us. Where are the next chapters that we're going to play after this one? Or after.
Oh, my friend, you said plural.
I said plural.
We're lucky we get to just do 10.
Oh, just chapter 10, huh?
Just chapter 10. Just finding out how bad they fucked up Cosmo Canyon.
Okay. Okay. I'll bet. I'll bet that goes great.
You have to go to Zangan and tell him a really good joke, so he'll teach you the Kaioken.
They gotta chase a monkey around this small one.
You know, stealing things from Dragon Ball isn't exactly the worst idea ever.
No, it super isn't. That would be way better than the game. I would play Final Fantasy VII Kakarot.
I mean, his hair is already spiky.
Sephiroth with the monkey tail.
Enjoy your time now, Cloud.
Sephiroth does the Hell Gate, but to cut Cloud's tail off.
We need to stop and just write this. This is gold. Kyrie, while you're dying, before you finish passing away, can you plug Zone for us here?
You can find me on Twitter, Kyrie A Page, and co-host Kyrie Page. Gosh, that's where you will find me reposting things. Jen, what about you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at GPU3, co-host at what's my co-host handle again?
Jen hyphen and hyphen Aster.
Yeah, Jen hyphen and hyphen Aster. And Blue Sky, Spooky Cute Witch.
You can find me on Twitter and co-host at SixDetmar, SIXDETTMAR. You can send me any messages there, questions, comments, DMs, you know, let me know what you think, if you have any feedback. And, folks, until next time, even wishing on Shenron can't stop it, the unknown journey continues.
Bye.
See ya.